This is a public news service daily newscast update, November the 22nd. I'm Mike Clifford. At least five people are dead and more than 40 others injured, according to CNN, after an SUV plowed into a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin. The numbers may change as we collect additional information. Many people have self-transported to area hospitals, the city of Waukesha tweeted Monday morning. There are indications the Waukesha suspect was fleeing another incident when he drove into the parade. So far, no known connection to terrorism and no apparent connection to the verdict in the Kyle Rittenhouse trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin. The Kyle Rittenhouse verdict is fueling a variety of perspectives. In Iowa, one viewpoint is it's adding to what's perceived as an increasingly hostile environment toward people who protest systematic racism.
Rittenhouse, a white teen from Illinois, was found not guilty of murder charges in last year's shooting of protesters in Wisconsin. Critics of the verdict say it's an example of the criminal justice system showing favoritism toward white people, while Black Lives Matter demonstrators in cities like Des Moines say they've been traumatized by police. Veronica Fowler with the ACLU of Iowa says the verdict underscores beliefs that law enforcement is choosing sides.
That's not the way it should work. We need a system of public safety that protects the lives of the entire community.
The Rittenhouse trial followed moves by several states, including Iowa, to adopt laws that increase penalties for protesters and offer greater protections for police during civil unrest. In passing Iowa's law, supporters and Republican Governor Kim Reynolds said police officers need all the help they can get when protests turn violent. I'm Mike Moen.
The U.S. Supreme Court expected to issue a ruling related to the Texas six-week abortion ban this week and hear arguments December the 1st in a Mississippi case that experts say could challenge the 1973 Roe v. Wade decision.
Kentucky State Director for Planned Parenthood Alliance Advocates Tamara Weider says Kentuckians' already restricted access to abortion is at risk. She cites state lawmakers' passage earlier this year of a constitutional amendment making it easier to ban abortion in the state if Roe v. Wade is overturned.
This no right to abortion amendment does not have any exemptions for rape, for incest, for sexual assault or fetal anomaly, or even life as a mother.
Kentuckians will vote on the constitutional amendment next November. House Bill 91 would create a new section of Kentucky's Constitution, stating that the Commonwealth does not secure or protect a right to or funding of abortion. Alabama, Louisiana, Tennessee, and West Virginia have enacted similar amendments. Nadia Ramlagan reporting.
This is PNS. The state of Colorado was able to increase student participation in afternoon nutrition programs in 2020, even during closures. That's according to new data from the Food Research and Action Center.
Crystal Fitzsimons with the group says programs work best when they combine healthy snacks and suppers with engaging activities, and Colorado providers helped keep students' education path open when they pivoted to curbside pickup and other creative ways to deliver meals.
They were doing virtual either activities or they were sending activities home with families to do, and so they were trying to support educational enrichment at a time when so many kids were experiencing learning disruptions.
Colorado improved its national ranking for connecting kids with after-school nutrition programs from 41st to 16th. Still, researchers found that students in low-income households and in communities of color were disproportionately impacted when schools closed and educators struggled to regroup online. I'm Eric Galatas.
Nearly 1.5 million low-income children received meals through after-school nutrition programs during last year. Storm damage, pollution, and other factors related to climate change reducing the oyster population.
Experts estimate the Gulf lost between 4 and 8 billion oysters to the massive oil spill and saw a loss of reproduction in ensuing years. However, research scientist Ryan Gandy with the Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission says oysters are not just living creatures, they're also habitat. So bringing them back also brings back an entire ecosystem.
By focusing up in the Suwannee Sound area, we're looking at the potential of building back some of the bars or some of the oysters in the area and providing resiliency to those oysters.
The oyster work is part of a nearly $100 million payout to also help restore sea turtles, marine mammals, and birds. This is the first in a series of oil spill recovery plans for the Gulf region. I'm Tramell Gomes.
Finally, our Lily Bolke tells us land trusts across the Northeast have partnered with poets this year for the first edition of Writing the Land. It's an anthology to help raise awareness of the value of protecting nature.
40 poets each wrote pieces inspired by different areas of conserved land, including here in Maine. David Cruz, one of the poets, worked with three different land trusts, including Liberation Farms and the Little Jubba Central Maine Agrarian Commons. He says each one allowed him to connect with the land and people who work the land in different ways.
They're really trying hard to try to give voice not only to the land itself, but to people who are trying to serve the land in responsible ways.
This is Mike Clifford. Thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on interesting radio stations, and find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.